WTIC. We'll be joined by David Stemmerman in a moment, but let's talk to Derek from Longmeadow. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Thanks for the call.
I'm just looking for clarification on why everyone's calling his tweets racist. I simply don't understand the connection.
Well, that's their loaded weapon that has the hair trigger on it. They love calling people racist. They love calling statements racist. Any time they can use that word, the Democrats feel they're benefiting politically because they're distracting from the institutional racism that is a problem, in my opinion, in America today, and focusing instead on something that's never been better, and that is interpersonal relations between people of different cultures and ethnicities and race. And they like to distort that situation. But I think the reason they can legitimately make the argument would be that this is language that's been used in the past against people who are here from other countries and stuff. So there is a loose connection in terms of that being racial. I don't know what happens if you say, why don't you go back where you came from to somebody who's white. I don't know if that's still racism, but you know, that would be the connection.
So it's basically just they want to make that connection, so they do.
And because I think he knew that this would cause a firestorm, he's a maestro at manipulating the media, so he used language that they could. So there's two, if you think of the country as having two halves politically, the half that the Democrats represent sees this as coded language that's designed to be racially provocative. And they, at the slightest inference of race, I don't even think race, when they call racism, that just means you've said something that is racial in content. Like, it doesn't even mean anything large because they say it about everything.
Well, that's why I'm wondering, because it seems to have lost its meaning at this point.
Yes. Well, I'm with you on that, but that's where the politics are. Thank you for the call, Derek. The point I think is important to make is they're claiming some high ground on race, the Democrats, but what they are is in the racial gutter every day. So if Trump does dip a foot into that same gutter, that's where they live. And they're trying to make it look like they're pure and that he's the dirty one. We'll take more calls on this coming up, but David Stemmerman is here for a quick chat. Hello there, former Republican governor candidate. What's going on, David? How are you?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you today?
Are you one of the guys who loves these sweaty days or who laments them?
I think it's a little hot and sticky. I love the summer, best time of year, but it's a little bit too much of a good thing right now.
But you know what? You put the sprinklers on and you get the kids out there running through them. It's big fun.
I couldn't agree more.
All right. So what about our political moments would you like to comment on? You want to start with the lottery?
I don't know.
You want to start with the no, you don't want to talk about that. You want to talk about tolls?
So what I'd like to talk about is I had an op-ed published this past weekend in the Hearst papers.
You didn't even send it to me.
That you got to be kidding me. We sent it to a lot of people, and I think I not only did I send it to you, I think I got a reply from you.
Oh, that was your email blast. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, then I did see it. Okay.
The email linked to the Hearst papers published on Sunday in
okay.
op-ed.
Yep.
And the last time we spoke, I gave you a little bit, you and your listeners, preview talking about the Bloomberg analysis about people leaving the state. And what we've gotten since that time is the CNBC annual rankings, which helps put the pieces of the puzzle together. And so I wanted to talk with you today about those annual rankings and how we can put all the pieces of the puzzle
together.
They're
coming so fast right now, these rankings. It's delightful.
I mean, it's delightful in providing fodder to talk about.
Yes.
It's not so delightful if you're a resident of our state and the news is one worst piece of news after the next.
No, you're right, but it's quantifying and making concrete something that everybody's aware of. So I think it's helpful to have these numbers. But go ahead, tell the story. Oh, by the way, I've now built us into a corner where we have about 30 seconds. So if you want to say one other thing in preparation, we'll take a quick break and then we'll continue.
Well, so what I'll say to everybody is, in preparation, go onto a CNBC website and look up the top states for doing business. It lists all of them, including Connecticut, and we're going to be walking through the details when we come back on the air.
It's always a little suspense with these ratings. Is it dead last for Connecticut, 49th, 48th, 47th in the best place to do business? We'll find out with David Stemmerman coming up on WTIC. 860-522-9842, back with David Stemmerman. Okay, this is exciting. Give us the numbers, David.
So you never want to lead with your headline. We got to do the build-up. So let's go by category. So the key categories that I want to call everybody's attention to are economy, something people might care about, infrastructure, something we've heard about from the governor repeatedly, and how about cost of doing business? In all three of those categories, Connecticut ranks in the bottom 10.
Okay.
So that's a pretty lousy place for us to be. So if you think about what that means, it means we have one of the 10 worst economies in the country. We have bottom 10 infrastructure in the country and bottom 10 in terms of cost of doing business in the country.
It's very interesting that the infrastructure number confirms the governor's storyline on why we need tolls. But the fact that it's also a really bad place to do business and businesses don't want to come here would negate the argument for spending the money by creating a whole new tax to generate that revenue to be able to repair the infrastructure. That puts us in a difficult position, David, doesn't it?
So this is what I talked about at the beginning of trying to untangle this mess and put the pieces of the puzzle together. And we talked about last time about how our unfunded retirement liabilities were a key part of the problem. And so let's put the pieces of the puzzle together. If you look at the rankings for the overall economy, one of the key criteria that CNBC uses is the health of the state's finances. And we rank horribly. And the result, the other way they measure the economy is our businesses coming in or coming out, and they're coming out. And for the infrastructure is in terrible shape. And we've talked about on your show repeatedly that the roads are too slow, the traffic is too great, the trains are too slow, there's inadequate airports, and this is highlighting exactly that. And again, it's the root cause of the same problem. All the money is going to the infrastructure, and it's not going to get people and goods moving. And then this last piece, where the cost of business is so high, that's terrible as well. And if you look at exactly what you're talking about, well, should we just add tolls to increase the improvement for transportation? Well, we've got a terrible cost of doing business problem. So that would be making it even worse. And so this is giving us some feedback as to why we're in such a mess.
Yeah, but that begs the question, first of all, how do you justify the governor's position at all of wanting to do $1 billion of tolls when it's already a state that's rated really low for business? Because so then you're going to have gorgeous infrastructure in 15 years, but all the businesses will have left the state.
Well, I think that you don't justify the governor's position. This is part of the value of getting this kind of granular detail, and I apologize if we're going a little too deep in the weeds.
No, I think it's great.
I think that this puts together that we have a combination of we have both underinvested in infrastructure, so it's terrible, and the costs of doing business are too high. So we're finding ourselves, that's why, as we talked about last time, the state of Connecticut is 50th, dead last, with income leaving. If you think about being a business, generally you offer You want to offer good service at a low cost. And here in Connecticut, we're offering lousy service at a high cost.
We're talking to David Stemmerman, former Republican running for governor. So that means we're in a situation that would feel hopeless. As somebody thinking about the state and how to turn it around, what's the argument for, you know, what are the pieces you can pick up where there's some leverage left?
Well, it's hopeless if you're going to do the same thing that we've been doing repeatedly. And what we talked about during the campaign and why I'm continuing to be on the radio with you and have been putting out these op-eds and put out a new website at davidstemmerman.com and active on Twitter and Facebook at David Stemmerman is we need fresh solutions. And we've talked about for the transportation infrastructure, the idea is you shouldn't be asking the people for a billion-dollar blank check. We should be setting our priorities, and then we should be asking for private investment to bring in fresh thinking and creativity at a lower cost to get this done.
Okay, so that's how you get some fresh money coming in. Because, you know, the paradigm that this data is setting up is that you want to drive the car really fast down the road, but there's no gas in the tank, and you have no money to buy gas. And so it's a catch-22. And you're saying you break that by bringing in private sector partners who have tons of capital.
Yeah, and what you do is you give them an investment opportunity, and you say to them, look, you don't need to bet on the state of Connecticut. Here's a specific project for Hartford Airport, for example, or for the Metro North trains, mm-hmm. or for a series of roads, and they say, if you will do this work, then and improve the infrastructure, you can make money. And that's how we're going to bring in that investment. And that's a very an approach that they've been using all over the country and all over the world. And it doesn't matter how bad a shape your state is in, if you can put these projects together, you've got literally tens of, if not hundreds of billions of dollars and lots of interested parties out there that are looking to make these investments.
All right, that sounds good. So we'll talk more about this in future conversations.
Absolutely.
All right, good. David Stemmerman, thank you, sir. Always good to talk with you.
Great to talk to you too, Todd.
Okay, take care. That's David Stemmerman, former gubernatorial candidate.